You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I decided we should talk about listening. Are you honestly listening to what other people are saying to you? You know, the reason why I thought about doing this show tonight is because recently I found myself in a little bit of trouble. I'm sure that you can identify with this as well. Have you ever been listening to something, maybe not paying the full amount of attention? Kind of, okay. Somebody's telling you something. And when they're done, you go, oh, yeah, that's great. And they go, okay, good. So you're in. So we can accept that you're going to donate X amount of money to the charity. You're like, whoa, wait a second. I know that's kind of an extreme case, but it's happened before. And I think we've all been there. When you're listening to somebody talk and all of a sudden you just kind of, go out of body. You're out in another dimension somewhere. And when they're done, you're like, yeah, that's great. Or, you know, let me think about it or what have you. And they're like, okay, so we can put you down for that. And it happens a lot nowadays. It happens all the time because listening is something that we all think we're really good at, but we're all really not that good at it. And a lot of times it's because we're always constantly thinking about what we're going to say in response. Instead of just listening to the person talk, accepting what they're saying, allowing it to be, and then being able to sit there and really think about it, maybe ask some questions for clarity. Instead, we're over there thinking about what our rebuttal's going to be. What are we going to come back with? What are we going to say? Other times, we're in another dimension altogether. We have no idea. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think one of the things is that we have to deal with some people that just like to talk, just to hear themselves talk. And because we've been inundated with that process for so long, we have a tendency of kind of looping everybody else into that same bracket. You know, you get so used to it. Like, think about at work sometimes. You're at work, you're at the office, and how many meetings do you have to go to before noon? And you get to listen to people talk about this and talk about that. And, yeah, some of it's kind of important, but we have a tendency of kind of looping it all together because we're thinking, my gosh, we've heard some people just pontificate for hours. What does this really mean? You know, in a recent study performed on 8,000 people employed in business, hospitals, universities, the military, and the government, they found that all the respondents, virtually all of them, believe that they communicate on a higher level than their coworkers. And that's interesting because you have to ask yourself a question, could everyone be really above average? But however, the research shows that the average person listens about 25% efficiency. At a 25% efficiency. And to me, that's not a very high skill level. I mean, think about it. Everybody thinks they're a good listener, but we're not. We're not, and there's a reason for that. There's things that come into play that we want to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about listening. We're going to talk about when people have a tendency of just talking just to hear themselves talk. You know, as well as, you know, realizing what to do in certain situations and how to really become better listeners. You know, also I want to talk about the fact that listening is kind of, we're not that great at that sometimes, and also we're not that great at reading. Because it seems like nowadays, people aren't really calling us on the phone and talking to us. Sometimes we don't have meetings. Instead, we get emails. We get inundated by bunches and bunches of emails. Or we do a text messaging on a constant basis, where we have long text messages where we need to respond. And sometimes we look at these messages, and unfortunately, we might answer one response or one question, but the rest of it's still dangling. So we're going to talk about that as well. And then later on in our second hour, I want to talk about those sayings and those comments that people make that we need to be aware of. And I'm going to talk about the three statements that people might say to you that you should never accept. Okay, later on in the second hour, we'll be talking about that. Because there's three things that people might try to say to you right now that you should never accept, you should never take on, and you should never allow that as your own. So let's begin tonight's discussion with listening. Honest, unadulterated listening. Think about it. You know, and I've been in those places before where I am not really truly listening. And in what I do in my career, so in my career as a therapist, as a life coach, you need to listen. You don't only need to listen, you need to feel what the client is telling you. And in that situation, you've got to be able to kind of figure out certain things. You've got to be able to eliminate certain issues. You've got to be able to put some thoughts and some notes down of things that are really dealing with what the client is honestly dealing with. Because sometimes in therapy, most of the time, the client doesn't really know exactly what might be causing the problem. And it's not like they don't know, but consciously, it might not be at the forefront of what's truly going on. Because a lot of times when we deal with issues, the reason for it can be masked. It can be masked because we don't really know, or we don't really want to see the truth, or there's so much baggage and so much stuff in the way of dealing with that, that we can't honestly see what's really truly happening. And so when you're listening to someone, I always like to look at it like I'm in therapy, like I'm in a session, because if you're really truly listening to somebody, you're keeping eye contact. And that's something that I see a lot of people not doing. When I look around at restaurants and groups of people hanging out, I don't see them doing a lot of eye contact. I see a lot of people looking down. I see other people looking around. I see people looking at the ceiling. I mean, I don't know how you can get anything figured out when nobody's communicating with their eye contact, because that's what connects you to being properly listening, to honestly listening to what someone's saying. And I know that right now in this day and age, people say, man, I just got such a busy schedule and I listen as much as I can. But you know, there would be so many things, so many issues that could be taken care of if we honestly listened. I mean, I've seen some stuff that's just hilarious. Recently, I thought it was pretty funny, where I was in a meeting and people were talking about this issue at hand. And I'm thinking about this issue and everybody was thinking, well, the issue had to be someone else's problem. Well, this was created by so-and-so, or this was caused by this or that. And it's like, not unless you literally take away some of the pieces of the onion of this conversation and put it back together and realize what's really going on, we can come up with a solution. But a lot of times when people are talking, it seems like they don't necessarily want a solution. And that's interesting, too, because I think that that's a concern. That's the reason why we don't always listen. Because, you know, sometimes men will be like, well, my wife was telling me about what happened at work today, and I tried to help her out, and she got angry. She got angry. She says, all I wanted you to do was listen. I didn't want you to try to solve it for me. And that happens a lot in the work environment, is a lot of people try to save people, to help people. And I'm one of those people, too, that I come up with the solution. But sometimes the solution might not be requested. Think about that. And I think that because of so much time of coming up with that solution and really thinking about things like that, and then maybe being burned, or maybe somebody telling you, hey, I wasn't asking you to do this, I was asking you to listen, I think we have a tendency of tuning people out. And I think that because we feel like we're listening for a particular reason, and they turn around and say, hey, I wasn't looking for that, I think that's become a little barrier into the entry of listening. I also think that one of the reasons why we don't listen that well is because we always think we know everything. I've been there before, where you automatically think, well, I know where this story is going. Oh, I already know everything. And you know what? If you actually just listen, you'll be surprised. And the reason why we feel that way is we feel like we have a good beat on things. We have a good finger on the pulse, you might say. But you know what? We all come from a different perspective. We all have a different perspective on life. I mean, heck, I've gone into elementary schools where I talk to kids about perspective. And one of the easiest ways to talk to kids about perspective and put it in their perspective of what perspective really means is to ask them about their siblings. How many brothers and sisters do you have? Are your mom and dad together? Do you have one mom? Do you have one dad? Do you have two moms? Do you have two dads? Are you the eldest? Are you the youngest? Are you the middle? Are you the only child? And that puts into perspective what perspective means, because we all come from a different perspective because we've all had a different past. We've all had different experiences. And based upon that, we really don't know what someone else is really saying and what they really mean unless we listen. And a lot of times we just assume that we're going to know everything, that everything that's going to come out of their mouth is something that we know and nothing's new. And so we have a tendency of just putting those earmuffs on. It's time to take the earmuffs off tonight and start to talk about what it means to be a good listener. And when we return, we're going to be talking about dealing with those people that talk just for the sake of talking. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about listening. Are you honestly listening to what people are telling you? What they're talking about? Are you hearing them? Are you understanding them? Or are you basically just like, tuning them out? And I've been on both sides of that. And I've made some bonehead decisions when I just agreed or disagreed to something. And, you know, I think it's human nature to, when people talk, I mean, for the most part, and I don't mean to be a jerk about this, but for the most part, for good people out there, for the good people out there, right? We have a tendency of going the positive route, even if we're not listening. Okay, yeah, that sounds a good idea. Yeah, that's right. Okay. And sometimes that can be awesome, and sometimes that can get us into trouble, okay? And on the other time, you have other people that aren't listening at all, and they go the opposite. They automatically poo-poo any idea possible because that's their mode of operandi. They've always done it. That's how they live their life, poo-pooing all over everybody else's ideas. And so why would you have something new to talk about? Haven't heard anything new or exciting in years. Why would you have anything that's worth telling me about? And so you have these people, you go through life and you try to figure out what to do. And as we go through life, we have to go through life with other people. No man is an island. How many times have you heard of that? We have to be able to get through life with speaking to other people and listening to what they have to say. Why? Because it propels life. Because it takes us from A to B. Because we live in a society where we have to listen to other people. So let's talk about that. We've been talking about how to honestly listen. And the reasons why I feel sometimes we don't listen fully. And I talked to you earlier about in the first segment about how 25% efficiency we have. 25% on listening. Wowzer. Oh my Lord. Oh my gentle Jesus. Is this what we've come down to? And it makes sense to me because I'll be in a conversation and listen to it, and I can tell how many people in that room aren't listening at all. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you were in a board meeting? Let's go to that. Picture this. You're at the office. There's a meeting around the oval table. There's 10 people there. We'll make it easy. We'll make the math easy today because I know how it is. I got it. So you got 10 people there. You got one person speaking. You got another person that's probably kissing their butt. So they're definitely listening to every word. You got about three or four people in there taking some, you know, some notes. They're aware of the situation. And things are going in and out of their mind. They're hearing some stuff, not hearing other stuff. You have at least two other people there that are on their cell phone texting underneath the table. So that's eight. And then you got two other people there that are probably dealing with some crazy family drama that took place earlier that morning or last night. And they're not listening to a thing. They're trying to figure out how to get themselves out of a sling that they're in. So you got two people texting, two people dealing with drama from the home, and you don't even have a clue what they're dealing with. Think about it. And that's how a lot of these meetings go. And that's why a lot of things don't ever get done properly. And if it does, it takes five or six or seven times because people aren't honestly listening. And I think one of the main reasons why people tune out so quickly is because I think that some people out there talk out their butt. They talk for the sake of talking because they love to talk. They love to be heard. And they're not really saying anything. Because there's a distinct difference between saying a lot and talking a lot. And some people haven't really figured that out. To say a lot can be said in few words. You can say a lot in one sentence and get your point across. And people will understand where you're coming from if you're clear and concise and articulate. You can speak for 5 hours and still not say as much as that one particular sentence that made a lot of sense to the majority of the people. And there's a lot of people out there, narcissistic people included, that like to talk. But it's not just them. There's a lot of different brackets of people. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have a tendency of kind of drowning out the noise of the talking with our own mind. Because a lot of times we realize the more we listen, sometimes we hear stuff that we don't even care about. I had something that happened the other day, and it still kind of like rubs me the wrong way. Okay, so this is what happened. I'm at one of the stations, and I'm talking to somebody that does a lot of work online and does some stuff for some of the work for the websites and for some of the digital work. And they were telling me about all kinds of good stuff about how they were changing things, how they were adding these dynamics to the website, all this great stuff. And I was listening, and I was really happy that they were really working on this to expand this, because I think that it's going to help create more listeners. And I think it's going to give people an avenue, especially if they miss the live broadcast. And so I was listening to everything this person had to say. And so, you know, fast forward about 3 or 4 days, and I had already sent a message saying, hey, I really appreciate meeting you. You know, you're a stand-up person. I appreciate all of the conversation and what you're doing. And so about a week later, I emailed back and I said, hey, by the way, I really like the idea that y'all are going to be doing the podcasting, what have you, online. And I like that you're going to be putting the past shows, the past best, and the past shows on there. And that sounds really cool. Let me know what I need to do to make that happen for my show that runs on y'all station. And the response was, yeah, how did you hear about that? And how did you know about that? How did you know that we were going to start housing podcasts on the website? And it's like I sat there and read this email, and it made me irate. And at first I was like, why is this making me so angry? But it was because you sat there and told me about this. I literally sat in a meeting while I listened to this person that asked me how I heard about this. I listened to them tell me about this for 20 minutes. And their response is, how did you know about this, and who told you about this? Who told me about it? You did. And it's like I found myself at that point where I don't even want to respond. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's like I feel like if you don't even remember what you're saying to people, well, then we have a real problem. If you don't remember what you said next, we have a real problem, because are you just talking out your butt? Or, I mean, is there some sort of mental reason why you don't remember what you said? But to me, the thing is that this person talks a lot about a lot of things and doesn't really remember, doesn't assimilate the meeting. And I think a lot of us have found ourselves in that place before, and because we feel burned we feel disillusioned, we stop listening so much. It's kind of like the idea of the person that's always punctual. The person that's always punctual, that shows up to every meeting on time, even shows up early. And eventually, the more they do that, and the more other people show up late, over time, unless that person is just like total military or that's just the way they were raised, over time, that person will begin to show up more on time, maybe to show up late, because they're being conditioned to do so. Because if you're always early and you always get there early and everybody else gets there late and you're stuck waiting for 30 to 40 minutes for people to show up, eventually you get tired of it. You get tired of it. So guess what? You begin to slouch. You begin to slow it down. You begin to show up on time. Eventually, you begin to show up late. Because you know what? Everybody else is doing it. Why am I sitting at this restaurant for a meeting 30 minutes before anybody gets here? Why? Think about it. Why? And that's the key. And use that in the concept of listening. So if you're constantly listening to people, and you know how it is when you're really truly listening. As a therapist, I understand. When you're truly listening to somebody, it's not necessarily draining, but you are working at listening. Because I'm a big believer that if you're a true therapist, you should be catching 98% of the information that is being provided to you by a client. You have to, because otherwise you can't help them. Otherwise you can't help them to help themselves. You just can't do it because you're not listening. And so the concept about listening and the concept about like the late and showing up early is that if you're surrounded by a bunch of people that just talk a lot and you've been listening to them for so long, you're going to get burnt out and eventually you're going to stop listening and you're going to be in meetings that you really need to be listening. But because of the track record, because of the backstory, because of all this stuff going on, you're not listening so much and you're stuck. And so you miss out on a lot of things. And so that's when it's important to sit there and figure out who around me are just a bunch of talkers. Who around me just like to hear themselves talk more than anything. And who around me are actual movers and shakers, or who around me do I need to be paying attention to? And I think that's where you get rid of the noise. Because until you get rid of that noise that you're listening to on a day-to-day basis, you're not going to actually listen to what's important. And that's key. Because you have to be able to decipher what's important and listen. And you need to realize when some people are just taking your time, or that's how they talk to everybody. Like, for example, that person, how did you hear about that? How did I hear about that? I heard it from you. I mean, can you not remember what you told me the other day? And that kind of scares me too, because if you're hanging out with them, they're not even listening to anything you have to say. And that's when you need to be able to cut that from the herd and know exactly what's going on. Because there's a lot of people that say a lot, and that's good. And there's a lot of people that talk a lot, and that's not so good. So stay tuned. We're returning to talking more about those people that talk too much, dealing with them, figuring out how to deal with them, and why they actually do what they do. We're going to talk about narcissism. We're going to talk about grandeur, because a lot of times there's a reason for that and how to kind of move past that. As well as later on, we're going to be talking about those three sayings, those three comments that you should never accept. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about listening. Are you actually listening to what people say to you? You know, are you honestly listening what people are talking about? Because I found myself in situations where I was not honestly listening, and I found myself in a predicament. You know, the next thing you know, I'm like, you know, I'm shoveling dirt, I'm doing something, I'm helping whatever, and I feel good about it, I'm glad I got into it, but I wasn't paying attention, and I assumed something or I accepted something I didn't even know I was agreeing to. And a lot of times we find ourselves there when we've gone down the slippery slope of not listening. And a lot of the reasons why we have tuned out people and turned off our ability to listen is, I think, because some people we know, whether it be at work or at home or just day-to-day life, they like to talk a lot. They like to be heard by all. And there's a big distinct difference between saying a lot and talking a lot. To say something, to say a lot versus talking a lot are two different things. When somebody says something, when they say something, it can be one sentence that penetrates your heart and you know exactly what's going on. When somebody talks a lot, they can talk a lot about a lot of different things and make absolutely no sense or have no reason to rhyme. And like I gave that example earlier, you know, there I am at work and somebody tells me about what they're creating, what they're doing, and I'm really stoked about it. I mean, I listened thoroughly to everything they had to say. And when I you know, commented about it, you know, about a few days later, they had no idea where I heard that, and they wanted to know who had told me about it. Well, they had. They had told me about it. That's what's so comical. I mean, I'm glad these people aren't in charge of the CIA secrets. However, the point is that, you know, you told me about it. And I think a lot of us deal with that on a daily basis, especially on the job, even in our own family. Well, who told you about that? Well, you did. And some people don't even remember what they said just because they're just talking to hear themselves talk. And it's funny, yeah, if you bring up something that they forgot, they'll ask you about where you heard it at. They'll ask you about who told you. It's almost like you broke into some sort of secret stash. Who told you that secret information? Well, you did. So let's talk about another reason why people like to hear themselves talk. And that is because a lot of people are narcissists. They want to feel more grandeur. They want to feel more grandiose. They want to feel bigger than life. Some people don't get the ability to really talk at home because, you know, they have issues in their marriage or what have you. But a lot of it is narcissism. And I was reading an article in Time the other day. It was a psychology article, and it was talking about how narcissists know that they're obnoxious, but they love themselves all the same. And, you know, the odds are that you do know narcissists, because I know a lot of them. And a lot of them are smart, and they're confident, and they're articulate. And the funny thing is, in the beginning, they make you laugh, and they make you think, and especially the first time you meet them. And the interesting thing is that they probably charmed you quite a bit. They probably even charmed your pants off, and for some of you, that was literal. And it's interesting how this is, and as long as you continue to know these narcissists, in the beginning, you meet them, and you love them. But to know them becomes unbearable. And it's interesting how their confidence, you know, quickly curdles into this arrogance. And their smart turns to smugness. And their charm turns to what? Swarm. I love that word. Smarm. Smarmy. When was the last time you heard somebody say, oh, he's very smarmy. Watch out for him. And they'll talk endless about themselves. But it's funny when they ask you, they don't really ask you about you. You don't really ever talk about you. And it's funny how this is a definite personality disorder. And when we're dealing with narcissists, or you're dealing with borderline personality disorder, and you're listening to somebody that talks nonstop about themselves, this is one of those things. And it's interesting how dealing with coworkers, so the coworkers that have to deal with these narcissists and how much they dislike them. And it's funny how the narcissist just feels like the coworkers are just jealous. They're just jealous. Seriously. And that's the key, is that a lot of times people talk to hear themselves talk about themselves. And that's one of the reasons why we have a tendency of like turning our ears off when we're in a conversation, because we're so used to dealing with that type of drama. So in this situation, there's got to be a way that we can draw a line between the people that we know just talk just for the sake of talking versus the people that we know that have something to say. And I think that we have to go into every new relationship and every new business relationship with an open mind. And we have to know that maybe there's a possibility that this person actually has something to say. And so you give them the benefit of the doubt and you let them talk. And it's just like when you hear people that are in sales talk about how they close a deal. They close a deal because they actually listen. They listen to what the client wants. You can't just walk into a place and say, hey, I got something to sell you. We want to sell you some advertising time. We know why you'll buy it, because you'll buy it for this, that reason. Well, you know what? Let's talk about, hey, what are your needs? What are you looking for? What are you needing to do with your company? And let me sidetrack that real quick. A little personal Ashley Burgess PSA right now. Woo, PSA. If you're looking to partner with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, because this is a show that's about authentic lifestyle. It's about doing things that are right for you, about helping to propel your life forward, about learning, about entertainment, about happy lives and healthy lives. And there's not a lot of messages out there. There's not a lot of programming out there that offers this enlightened information. And at this time, we have a few openings for direct partnerships with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. If you feel that your company, your service, your skill set, what you do, what you sell, what you've created goes with what we talk about as far as just bettering life, about making life easier, about taking stress off people's shoulders, then we want to hear from you. Go to ashleyburgess.com. You can go to www.ontheweb.ashleyburgess.com. Click on the contact page. You'll see it in the middle of the page. You'll see a Pathfinder. You'll see Big Rich Texas, and you'll see a button for contact. Click on that. Send me an email. I want to hear from you. And one of our partnership and sponsorship staff will get in touch with you ASAP because we want your message to get out to the right people. If you have a quality food, if you have a quality service, you need to be on a quality show. So that's enough for the PSA. But let's get back to this concept of being able to figure out who to listen to and who not. And I think that you have to realize that we all have to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But I think that once we know that somebody just talks to hear themselves talk, it's time to move on. It's time to move on, or maybe you don't have to listen that deeply, or maybe you need to kind of limit your time around that person, and that makes more sense than anything. Because you know what? To be honest about it, you got to be honest in your situations. And if somebody's just kind of talking out their butt all the time, it's probably time to move on anyway. Because I'm a big person about doing, not talking. I've been around people my whole life where all they want to do is talk about what they're going to do. And I don't know about you, but that just irritates the living bejesus out of me. So here we go again. We're going to talk about what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the things that we're never going to do, but we're going to talk about doing them, and we're never going to get to them. And I don't really ever want to be in that position again, and that's why, you know, I love everybody. But that's why I only partner and work and see and hang out with certain people. Because if you're going somewhere and you're creating something, you got to be around other creators. If you have something to say and you're saying something, you need to be around people who are listening to what you have to say or people who are also contributing to what you have to say. That's key. Because all the other stuff in the middle means nothing. All the other stuff in the middle is filler. And filler is not worth having. That's why they eliminate fillers in certain foods, because it's not healthy. You don't need all these binders. You don't need all these fillers. So you got to move on. And that's another thing about what we're talking about tonight, is that sometimes in this case, especially listening to Two Perspectives right now, is you're going to begin to identify people that you love, but people that you might need to put some distance from because it's not overall helping your well-being. It's not helping you work on yourself. It's not helping you get to that next level. You're not helping them. They're not helping you. Y'all are stagnant. It's time to move on. So when we return, we're going to be talking about how this inability to really listen to people has transformed from the inability to listen to now the inability to read clearly, because we're no longer really on the phone as much as we used to. We're no longer really seeing people in person as we used to. And now we're dealing with emails and texts. And just as much as we don't listen, we don't read. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about listening. Are you truly listening to what people are saying to you? And you know, a lot of us have tuned people out because we're just sick and tired of it. We're sick and tired of it because a lot of times people have nothing to say. They're saying the same thing twice, or we've heard it all before. And a lot of times that happens because we're dealing with narcissistic folks, people that like to be bigger than them, people that like to talk a lot, people that talk a lot and say very little. And the biggest deal that we need to think about and focus on and put into our repertoire is that it's better to say a lot than talk a lot. It's interesting how every film you see a lot of times when it's like some sort of feel-good film, you'll have one character that talks very little, but everything they say is very important. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be talkative. I'm not saying you shouldn't be gregarious. But I'm saying that a lot of times we tune people out because they just talk a lot. I remember in the beginning when I was talking about the person I work with that literally forgot what they had told me. And that happens a lot of times where you say, hey, that was awesome about XYZ. And they go, where'd you hear that from? Well, I heard it from you. It's like that old PSA, remember on TV when we were younger, when the father walks in and the kid's in the bedroom doing drugs and he goes, son, where did you learn to do drugs like that? And he goes, I learned it watching you, Dad. I learned it watching you. Okay. That was just a side banter right there. But let's talk about how our inability to listen has honestly spilled over into our inability to read. Think about it. Because we have less time of meeting people in person, because we have less time of calling, because we choose, because of technology, to not call anymore, but to text or to email, the inability to listen has turned into the inability to read. And I don't know about you, but come on. When was the last time that you sent an email, you sent a document, you sent a text, and the response was two words? I have a friend of mine right now that the response that he dislikes the most is sounds good. How can you say sounds good? What does that mean? What does sounds good mean? What does that mean? I wrote it. I didn't speak it. How can it sound anyway? And a lot of us have these issues where we come across a situation at work or in our personal life where people don't read the text, they don't read the email, and if they do, they only read the first sentence of it or they read the last sentence of it. Very interesting. They read a part of it or they don't read anything at all, or they only respond to one thing and not the entire text or not the entire email. And bigger than any of that is that they normally jump to the wrong conclusions. So think about it. I have had birthday parties totally screwed up. I have had people fly in on the wrong dates because of a text message or an email. I've had people not show up to shows because they think it's the next week because they didn't read the email. I've had all kinds of crazy stuff happen. And the basis for it is that people don't read anymore. They've just stopped reading because we are getting bombarded by all of this content, whether it is in text messaging, whether it's in email form. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I love social media, but I have about 10,000 Facebook messages I haven't gone through because I actually read the message. I don't sign off on something based on the fact that I don't read. I actually read it. And so because a lot more people are writing than showing up in person, we have to figure out what we can do to be even better readers. And I think one of the biggest things about that, and this is something you might want to share with your kids, with your relatives, with your coworkers, anybody and everybody that'll listen, read the email or read the text, or better yet, shorten the email or shorten the text. And I've learned one little trick, one Burgess trick here. Burgess trick, text trick 101. Text trick 101. Ask only one question per text. You heard me right here on Perspectives. Ask only one question per text. If you add two questions, only one's going to be answered. I'm serious. 9 times out of 10. You ask two questions, one will be answered. And it's normally the last one. If you send two texts in a row, only the last one will usually be read. So Send one text, ask a question, wait for response. Send another text, wait for the answer, wait for the response. It's got to be by the book here. Because if you want to have answers instead of more questions, or instead of just complete and utter confusion, you've got to follow the path of less resistance. And that means what? Give them less to read. And I hate to put the eggs in the basket of the ADD 2015 world. Because I think a lot of times we underestimate people. And I think a lot of times we dumb things down that don't need to be dumbed down. And that's why I do the show, is because I believe that people are inherently highly intelligent. And I believe that an intelligent show is needed now more than ever. And as we talk about responding back to text and emails, I think something that you can do if you are confused is to pick up the phone. It's an amazing thing, the phone. I ask questions a lot. Like, I had somebody text me yesterday about a dinner party. And they texted me, they said, "Hey, are you going tonight?" And my response was, "To where?" And they responded with, "The dinner party." And I thought about it, and I looked at my calendar. There was nothing on my calendar. And I said, "What dinner party?" And they said, "The dinner party that you got the email about." And I go, "Oh." So I started going through my email, and then I realized I should go through the spam, and then I should go through the junk folder. I couldn't find anything. So I text back, "When did they send the email?" The person said, "I don't know. Let me find out." And all of a sudden, that's when I'm like, this is going nowhere. I still don't know whose party this is. I have no idea whose dinner party this is. I have no idea who's sending me the email. Is he sending the email? Is someone else sending the email? What is this about? So it's funny, because I was in studio and I got to a break and I called them and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "How you doing?" They're like, "Hey, you coming tonight?" I was like, "Hold up." I was like, what am I supposed to be going to tonight? The dinner party. What dinner party? This dinner party. Sends me a link. I go online. I go, "Oh, wow, that sounds like a cool idea." He goes, "You signed up, right? You got the email." I go, no, I never signed up for anything." He's like, "Oh, you didn't sign up?" And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You didn't sign up for the dinner party." I go, "No, I didn't know about it." "Oh, so how do I sign up?" "Oh, well, it's too late now. It's a limited amount of people. It's only 31 people, so everybody's been RSVP'd." So I said, "So you call me, or you, I'm sorry, you texted me to basically let me know of an event that I'm not going to be able to go to." However, if I would have continued this texting approach, I would have learned nothing. I would have spent another 2 hours trying to figure out what the heck I'm supposed to be at. And that's where we are sometimes in life, is that sometimes the best thing to do is to pick up the phone. But when we return, what I want to talk about in the second hour is I want to talk about the things we can do. I want to talk about the four things we can do to listen better, to increase our listening skills. Because you know what? There's a way that we can increase our listening skills. There's a way that we can increase our reading skills. And this needs to be discussed, because I think this is going to not only aid and abet in a better life, it's going to make things a lot clearer, and we're going to see things in a lot better light. We're also going to understand more. We're not going to be in the dark anymore. We're not going to be wondering what the heck's going on. What dinner party am I supposed to be at? I have no idea. Also, later on, we're going to be talking about those three statements. Those three statements that people might say or try to put on you that you should never, ever accept. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about listening. Are you actually listening to what other people have to say? You know, in the first hour, we were talking about what it meant to honestly listen to someone, what it meant to honestly be in the moment and listen. And I think a lot of times the reason why we don't listen as well is we think that we are great listeners, but I think we're bombarded by people that talk too much. I think a lot of times people say very little, but talk a lot. I mean, the absolute opposite is what we crave. We crave people that say a lot and mean a lot and talk very little. And that's something interesting because when we're bombarded by people that are always talking, we have a tendency of shutting down. We don't pay as much attention. We don't listen. And we end up falling into that pattern, and that becomes an issue in our life. I mean, a lot of times people talk just to hear themselves talk. We have the total narcissist that completely talks about how great they are and everything awesome that they've done that day, that week, and that year. You know, you also have those people that want to feel bigger and better than they really are. Or maybe they have the inability to not be able to talk at home. You know, some of us don't realize that some people rarely get to talk. And so when they're around somebody that they can talk to, they unload it. And, you know, to be able to understand where you stand with that person, but to also have some boundaries does help, but also to kind of understand where that person's coming from. You know, I have some friends that are amazing people, but when you get them out of the house and you start hanging out with them, they can talk your ear off. And, you know, the thing about it is that two of those people are stay-at-home moms. And that's a big job, to stay at home, to take care of your kids. It's a lot of work. And they don't get to really talk that much. I mean, they can talk with their kids, but their kids are quite young. And so when it comes down to it, any sort of really deep conversation, they find they have to kind of hold and wait. And so I happen to be the friend that's outside the house, and I can't tell you how many times we've gone out, and I don't remember a word I've said. And sometimes that's totally cool. But sometimes you have to sit there and say, hey, this is a two-way street. And most people will understand. It's just that there's not a lot of interaction. And it's just the same as when somebody works on their own. When somebody works solo, they don't work in a big office, they might have a tendency of talking more, of being more just out front and discussing things than other people might be. Because some of us have a job and a career that we talk all the time, a.k.a. talk radio. Radio show host, I talk all the time. And when it comes to being at home, I have a tendency of not wanting to talk that much. And so that's pretty funny. And, you know, there's a lot of people that live in that lifestyle and have that type of career. You know, another thing, too, is that because we don't really have that ability to listen that well, because a lot of times we don't listen that well. I think 25% of the ability to listen, meaning that a lot of us feel like we can listen and we hear things quite well. We feel like we're very effective listeners. And, you know, it's just not true. It's just not, I mean, some of us individually could be, but, you know, when they did that research that 8,000 people employed in businesses, hospitals, universities, the government agencies, the military, the respondents believe that they communicate more effective, as effective or more effective as their coworkers, meaning that everybody's above average. However, the research shows that the average person listens at only about 25% efficiency. That's interesting. While most of people agree that listening effectively is a very important skill, most people don't feel a strong need to improve their skill set or their skill level. And there's something to be said about that. But think about it. Think where we are nowadays in today's day and time. We are in the generation of not seeing you, not meeting you, not going in person, but sending a text message or sending an email. And we've become like we're all into this writing quick responses. You know, we either write long emails or we write very quick, succinct emails, but it's becoming the inability to listen is spilling over into our inability to read because we have so much to read nowadays. I mean, I think that a lot of us feel the same way. You know, you get to work and you open up your email and it's like, oh, my Lord. Oh, my gosh. How am I ever going to go through all of these emails? I mean, for some of us, too, we not only have all the emails, but we have all the text messaging. What about all the LinkedIn messages? What about all the Facebook messages? What about all the Twitter direct messages? Couple all that together and have a massive freak out because there's just so much that needs to be responded to. And I think one of the things, like I was talking about earlier, is that when we're listening, when we know that someone's kind of a blowhard and just talks out their butt, there's a certain time when you have to sit there and figure out, how much time am I going to spend around this person? How much makes sense to me? And when do I need to shuffle out? The same thing applies to the written word. When it comes to messages, which messages are important for me to respond to? Which messages matter to me? Which messages can I send a one or two word comment based on how important that is? I mean, you have to really think about importance, but even then, how many times are certain messages highly important that we skim, that we don't really read? And I have people do this all the time, where I'll send out an email and they'll catch one or two sentences of it, and that's it. I'll send out a text message, and I'll tell you one thing about text messages. Don't ever ask more than one question in a given text message, because only one of those questions will be properly answered, if answered at all. Okay, and so I've learned one thing about text messaging is that, you know, in order to really text mess efficiently, you want to send each text message and ask only one question at a time. And then you want to wait for that response. I mean, the more text messages people get, the more overwhelmed they become. I mean, it's just a given rule. I mean, nowadays, like, you remember when we used to get all these phone calls? And I still love phone calls, by the way. I prefer a phone call over a email. I prefer a phone call over a text anytime from particular people. I mean, some people, I mean, God bless them, you love them to death, but they can talk your ear off and you just don't have that much time. And in that case, boundaries is your friend. In that case, employing some of the concepts from my last book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life, makes sense, because we have to sit there and figure out what's important, what is our schedule going to allow, how much time do we have, and what do we need to do next? It's just that easy, because if we let other things get in the way of our responsibilities, then we're not unable to actually take care of our responsibilities that would cause us some more problems in the end. And so, you know, a lot of times we have these common reading problems where we might only read the first or last sentence. We might only read a portion, not all of it. We might respond to one thing or one concept. And a lot of times in these situations, the worst outcome is that people that are reading it jump to the wrong conclusion. And I've done shows on this in the past that, you know, if you allow people to create and to come up with their own conclusion, they're going to come up with the wrong conclusion over 80% of the time. Like I tell you, the reason why I define this show as perspectives, the reason why I created perspectives, was to explain that everybody has a different perspective. And because of that, people jump to the wrong conclusions because they don't know where you're coming from. You have to define that. You have to explain that. That is the golden goose right there that has to be understood. So let's talk about what we need to do. You know, let's talk about what we need to do, but better yet, what we can do. Because I think what we can do is better than need. What can we do? What can we honestly do to listen better? What can we do? And I thought about this because this is so important, because when we listen better, we can take a lot from a meeting. We can understand where people are coming from. We don't jump to ludicrous decisions, and we make the right action choices, and we're able to actually put a process into action. I mean, think about it. How many times have you been in a meeting where you didn't have enough information, right? You didn't have enough information where you couldn't make a decision. You could not make a decision. And wouldn't you like to make a decision right then instead of waiting another week, another 2 weeks? Don't you wish you had all the information needed right then? Because you could have come up with a good decision. You could have at least had an action status, a principle, a way of moving to the next level instead of just sitting there. I mean, just waiting it out. What are we going to do next? I guess we need to set up another meeting. Who do we set up another meeting with? I mean, think about it. And a lot of times we get into that inaction. We're not in action. We're thinking about action. We're just there. And we're sitting on the sidelines wondering what the next move is because we don't have enough information. We're confused. We don't know which way to go. And so when we listen better, we're able to make a lot more decisions. We don't get stuck in inertia. We can actually move forward. Or we can stop and say, hey, we need more information. But in order to move forward, we're listening properly. So when we return, I'm going to go through the three things that we can do to help us pay more attention and to help us listen better and to help us get to a power position where we can make change and we can make knowledgeable decisions. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about listening tonight, and right now I want to go through the three things that we can do to listen better, to make better choices, to make knowledgeable choices, and to move forward. You know, the first thing we can do to listen better, to allow our listening skills to thrive, is to stop thinking so much when other people are talking. It's very simple. When other people talk, stop thinking. Stop thinking about what your rebuttal is going to be. Stop thinking about the funny joke you thought about. Seriously, how many times when someone else is talking, are you thinking about the perfect rebuttal? Seriously, think about it. And it's funny because how many of those times can you not even use that rebuttal because somebody cuts you off? Or the funny thing is that a lot of times when we think about the perfect response, it's not the perfect response. It sounds like crap. It seriously does. Because we're too busy thinking, we're not listening. Instead, if we were to have been paying more attention, we could have made a better response. And so the first thing we can do to be able to listen better is to stop thinking when other people are talking and to understand that we can listen and we want to listen to understand. We're not listening to respond. And these are what I'm talking about. This goes together is the concept of not thinking while other people are talking as far as what your response is going to be, but listening to understand instead of just to respond. I used to always listen to respond. This was a while back. This was about 10 years ago. And I realized that I didn't get anywhere. And I didn't really even get to hear what people were honestly saying. And so when we listen to understand, we're able to make better comments. We're able to ask important questions. And the funny thing, too, is that the more we listen, the better listeners we are, the better we're able to point out the less better listeners. And it's not a competition, folks, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you got to look around that room and go, well, heck fire. I'm a better listener than all those people. They didn't even catch what they were saying. You know, the second thing you want to do is you want to have eye contact. You want to keep quality eye contact. And you know, you might be like, why, Ashley? Well, you know why? We have to do this, and why we want to do this, more like it, is that when we create and keep eye contact, we're actually listening. We're not over there paying attention to the little spider running down the floor, freaking out. For some of us women, we can freak out a little bit about a spider, no matter what the size. For some of us, we're looking down at our phone, and somebody has just texted you for the 15th time. And it bugs you. And it makes you feel a little irrational, a little kooky, a little stressed out. And so while this person is talking, you're looking down at this text message all stressed out. Well, you've missed the last 30 seconds of the conversation. You have no idea. And now you've put this angry, stressed out emotion into the present conversation. Think about it. So eye contact is important because with eye contact, you're never going to be looking at your phone. With eye contact, you're not going to be paying attention to that little spider. With eye contact, you can also feel the way somebody feels about a situation. You can understand the importance and the relevance of what they're saying to you. For example, you know, a lot of people go, okay, Ashley, so what's the big deal of eye contact? But if you look at any good therapist, if you look at any good counselor, any good life coach, they always keep good eye contact. And why is that? Because you need to know where a person is coming from. You need to understand how they feel about what they're saying, how important it is, and better yet, how real is it? I mean, that's something I've learned in life is that eye contact is very important. When I was younger, I didn't realize that I had a BS meter. A BS meter. Yeah, you heard me right. A BS meter. And the BS meter, it wasn't like a calibration meter. It wasn't like a thermometer. It wasn't anything like that. It was built in. And I didn't really realize it at the time until one day I figured it out. I'm sitting there talking to a friend of mine. Actually, my friend was talking to me more like it because they talked a lot. They were very narcissistic and always talked about themselves quite a bit. And the only time that you ever did anything right was if they were involved and it made them look better. So anyway, little rant and rave. So there we are sitting there and he's talking about something again here and there. And all of a sudden I catch my eyes go from his eyes down to his nose, down to his mouth, down to the table. And now I'm looking at the table at this restaurant that we're sitting in this booth. So we're sitting in like a little booth and I'm looking at the, you know, the fake wood table. Huh. And I'm looking at the formica and I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the cup of water I have on the table. And I realized that this was my BS meter. Think about it. Instead of looking in their eyes like I started, I was now looking at the formica table, meaning what they were saying was not true. And I knew it. I didn't catch it consciously at the exact time, but subconsciously, by my own actions, I realized that the person that was talking to me was totally full of BS. Think about it. When was the last time you did that? Now, was it with eye contact? Was it with movement? Was it with body movement? Sometimes we have a tendency when we know somebody is full of it. We have a tendency of maybe moving around a certain way. Maybe edging to a certain degree. Maybe not being able to look in their eyes. Maybe not wanting to. You know what I'm saying? And those are things that you really want to think about because the more we listen and really pay attention, the more we can learn. Better yet, the more we learn about the people around us. It's not always about what they're saying. It's about how they say it. And I know all the men out there right now are like, oh, Lord have mercy. Ashley just opened up a can of worms. You hear your wife say all the time, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. It was your tone. Okay. It's true, though. To a degree. To a big degree, the way we say things and how we look when we say them count a lot when it comes to the message. I mean, if I'm over there, you know, looking like crazy, eyes all bugged out, you know, looking like some sort of vampire over there, you're not going to like what I have to say. I'm going to probably scare you and you're going to probably run. On the flip side, if I look and I have eye contact, and I look genuine, and you can see from my body mannerisms, from my emotions, from my feeling, from the way that I am communicating, that what I have to say is true. You can formulate that with your own conscious thought and begin to realize, do I believe this? Is this true? Asking questions is a good thing, too. And that's the next part that I come to, is that the things that we can do to listen better is the first thing is to stop thinking while other people are talking, to stop coming up with our responses. The second thing is eye contact. Eye contact will be able to create your BS meter. You will be able to know if what somebody is saying is true or false very quickly based on eye contact. The third thing is to ask pertinent questions. When somebody gets done talking, if you are confused, ask the question. Ask a question. No questions are stupid. The only questions that are stupid are the ones not asked because you don't know. I remember when I was younger, occasionally, when I was surrounded by people that I assume were smarter than me, and they would ask me a question, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I know about that. I read that book. Oh, yeah, it was a good book. No, I hadn't read the book. No, I didn't know what they were talking about. And guess what? That got me into some problems. Because the next thing they're going to ask you is how you feel about the book. What was your favorite part about the book? What was your favorite part about the essay? What did you connect with when it came to this and this? Well, if you don't even know what they're talking about, this is not going to go down well. It's not. And even if you can BS your way out of a bag, out of jail, out of any sort of circumstance, you still haven't learned anything. So for all you out there saying, man, I can BS my way out of anything. I can figure it out. I can change it up. I have the answer for everything. Well, that's great, but what about learning something? And you know what's cool about that, too, is when you're honest with people about not knowing everything, you get more respect. You just do. It's part of it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I give a lot of respect to people who are honest. Doctors, when I was a kid, when I was a child going through all these surgeries and going through all this stuff as I did, the doctors that impressed me the most were the doctors that didn't know all the answers. Because the funny thing is, the doctors that claimed they knew all the answers didn't know any of them. They lead you down that primrose path. And I've been down that path so many times, I could feel it when it was coming around. And so I love the idea of when somebody doesn't know all the answers, I'm totally stoked. Stay tuned when we return and be talking about what you can do to listen better, to be able to formulate more of those skills. But also we're talking about the three statements you should never accept when someone else tells you. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about how we can listen better, what we can do to listen better, to make more effective decisions. You know, we want to stop thinking while other people are talking. We want to stop thinking about our rebuttal. It's not that important. And you know, the comments that are made after you actually truly listen are that much more valuable. You know, the second thing is that we want to have eye contact. We want to have consistent eye contact. It allows us to understand where the person's coming from, to get a good clue on what they're saying. Is it true? Is it false? Does it have meaning to them? Does it not have meaning to them? How genuine are they? And how much does it matter to them? That's so important. The third thing that we can do and employ today to listen better is to ask more questions. If you have questions or concerns and you want to know what to do about it or you want to clarify what they're saying, you got to ask a question. You got to ask a question. You got to point out the fact that maybe you don't understand anything or you don't understand the implication of something or you're wondering how this all feeds in together. And that's what's so interesting about it, because when we ask smart questions, then don't sit there and freak out about, is this a good question? Is this a smart question? Is this a dumb question? Don't think about that. Like I said earlier, the only dumb questions are the ones not asked, right? Didn't we hear that in school when we were kids? The only dumb questions that aren't asked are the ones you don't ask. Well, I guess I just repeated myself, but you understand. I mean, our teacher said a lot back then, but you know, that was one of the things that I remembered. And it's true, because that question that we might have thought was dumb might have clarified everything for everybody. Because you know what? If you think the question's dumb, I bet somebody else in the group thinks the same way. But the funny thing is, if you have that question, I bet someone else has the same question too. I bet that by asking that, you could help clarify a lot of issues. So think about it. Sometimes we have to be the change in this world. We got to step up and do what's right, even though we sometimes may feel that that puts us on the hot seat. Even though we may feel that that might put the spotlight on us, sometimes you got to do it. You got to go that next step in order to educate and to open the doors to communication, as well as to understand where everybody stands. You know, now that we're listening, now that we've started listening, that we've opened up our ears, that we've taken the earbuds out, now that we're doing that, now that we're following this technique and we're going around, we're listening and we're catching what's going on and we're catching eye contact and we're catching body movement and we're catching this and we're catching that and we're catching this and we're like, we are on top of things. We got our BS meter going. That thing's working 99.9% of the time. We're doing good. We're doing good. We got her done. We're doing good. And at that point now, what do we do? At that point now, I want us to take us to the next level. I want to take listening and the word and the spoken word to the next level. Because I think it's funny, some of the things that we speak, a lot of the things that we speak, especially certain sayings and comments, if we read these sayings and comments, we would ask what the heck we're talking about. What does this mean? And so right now I want to talk about the three statements, the three things that someone else might say that you should never accept. The three statements that if someone says around you, you should never agree to, you should never accept. And the first one is something that I hear a lot. So you know my background. I'm a therapist and I'm a life coach. And before all that, as a kid, I was the person that everybody came to advice for. Everybody would come to me for advice. Even when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, I remember my babysitters asking me for advice. And, you know, I know that I didn't have any sort of confidentiality issues or agreements back then, but I wish to keep that quiet. But some of the stuff that they came to me for advice for was stuff that some therapists have difficulty dealing with even in their 40s. Okay. And so I started understanding people at an early age. But one thing that I've heard over and over again, and I used to sit there and say, oh, okay, that's fine. Oh, no, don't worry about it. Oh, that's fine. Oh, it's okay. Oh, I understand. No, it's no big deal. The one thing that I hear a lot is when a client or a friend or an acquaintance or somebody I just met or somebody at work says, oh, Ashley, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dump all that on you. What? Oh, Ashley, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dump all that on you. Think about it. What does that mean? What does that mean? Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm not going to be dumped on. Okay. And back in the day, I didn't really realize what that meant. But think about it. Like, you know, like a dump truck. Like putting something in the dump. That's basically what they're talking is. They're taking all their emotional crud, all their damage, all their issues that they personally need to deal with on their own. At least they can't give them to somebody. They're dumping on you. And if you say, oh yeah, that's okay, or oh, I understand, then you've taken it on. Do you get what I'm saying? And a lot of times we don't even realize we're doing it. Think about with a family member or a friend when they, quotations, unload on you. What the heck? Sorry, I didn't mean to dump on you there, Allison. You know what? I mean, that's not good. And a lot of times we don't really think about what words mean, but think about that literally. Visualize all this crud coming out of someone's mouth and dumping on your head. You remember that on Nickelodeon with the green slime? If y'all, I mean, I was a kid and I kind of grew up with that stuff. And I'm sure you did too, or you had kids, or you watched it and you wonder what it was, or you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But the green slime, when they would get slimed on this one show, that's how it is. You just got dumped on. And not only did you just get dumped on, you accepted it. You agreed to it. Hook, line, and sinker, sure. No problem. All good. Don't worry about it. Oh, I know you've been going through pain. And so the other day, I was talking to somebody and, you know, not in a therapy type session, but in a work environment. And it happens often just because I understand the human condition. And I get it. And I like for people to be open around me when they work with me because I can understand where they're coming from. I can understand the problems that they're dealing with in their life. I can understand the stresses and the strains they're having. And I can understand where they're coming from. And with that in mind, I can understand why their mood swings a certain way or what's going on. And so in this particular situation, this woman that I'm working with, wonderful lady, was working on a specific project. And she came in my office a couple of days ago and we sat there and we talked, and she's been having family member issue problems, you know, wanting to have their own life and get away from these issues that really aren't theirs. And I understand they're doing their best they can to better the situation, but at the same time, besides the codependency issue, but also besides all the excuses, which is okay too, because a lot of us have, we all have our story. We all have excuses for having the story, but those keep in the way of making a move. And so as I'm trying to help this person see the light of the directions and the options they can go, and this isn't for money, this is just a friend, somebody that's working with me, they looked at me and said, "Oh, you know, I'm really sorry, Ashley. I didn't mean to dump all this on you. I didn't really mean to dump all this, you know," like three or four times in a row. And I finally looked at them. I said, "Hey, you're not dumping anything on me. Okay. I'm just going to make that real clear in a nice way. I took all that and put it in the trash, but also on top of that, that's yours. And I can help you, but I'm not going to be dumped on." And so remember, the next time you hear a family member or a friend say that to you, do not accept that. Do not accept that. You're not doing that to them. And if you're doing that to other people, you need to check yourself. If you are saying those words and doing that to other people, you've got to check yourself, because that's not appropriate. That's not right. And so the next time, if you're not doing that, or if you are doing it, but the next time somebody does that to you, nicely and kindly let them know that you will help them understand their situation, or you can be a springboard, but in no way, shape, or form are they dumping this on you. Be explicit, be straight to the point, because otherwise you make a bond and you take on their crud. You know, the second comment... and statement that you should never accept. And this one's an interesting one, because I think this one hits home for a lot of us, because we're always trying to do the best for everybody. We're always trying to do what's right by folks. We're trying to do the right thing. And for most of us, we're always trying to do the right thing. And you know what? When we return, I'll be telling you that second statement that you never want to accept. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about those three statements that other people might say to you that you should never accept. The first one was, "Sorry, I dumped on you." "Oh, sorry, Ashley, didn't mean to dump all that on you." Well, don't accept that. Think about it. No matter what position you're in, you don't need people dumping things on you. And you certainly don't need them saying that and then you agreeing to it. It's like you've confirmed the resolution. The next time that somebody unloads on you a lot of stuff going on in their life, God bless them. And the next time they say, "Sorry, I didn't mean to unload. I didn't mean to dump all that on you." Be nice, but be direct. "No, you didn't dump anything on me, actually. I've been listening to your concerns and helping. But however, you're not dumping anything on me. This is your stuff to deal with." Or you can just say, "Hey, I'm not being dumped on at all." Okay? And this is important, because if we just agree to that, you're going to take on their stresses and their strains, and they're going to let that go. And we all have our issues to deal with. We all have our issues to deal with. And that's one thing that I haven't ever said. And that's funny, is I was talking earlier in the gym about this. And I was talking to a couple of my friends that were working out at the same time. And they said, "You know what, Ashley, I've never said that to someone." And I think that comes from a specific type of person, because I think that, You know, it's all about the way we acknowledge how we speak, but it's also about being forthright with your own personal power. How powerful are you? Do you let people just dump their emotional crud on you? No. You may listen to it and you may serve to help, but do not in any way let them dump that on you. So remember that. When they say sorry, they dumped on you. No dumping here. It's a dump-free zone. Sorry, you got to go down to the dump to do that. You know, the second statement that you should never accept, no matter what, is that no good deed goes unpunished. Haven't you heard when people say that? No good deed, Ashley, goes unpunished. That means that every good deed that you do is going to get punished. That means that every good thing you do, every enlightened thing you do, you're going to get punished for, you're going to get in trouble for. What the heck is that about? So we're setting ourselves up for failure. Every time I do something good, I'm going to get punished. There we go. So you know what? The next time you do something good, you got punished. I mean, it's a slippery slope. I mean, you're making your own future. You're creating your own future. When we sit there and say that every good deed, you know, that's crazy. No good deed goes unpunished. Why do good then? Why do any good deeds at all? Every good deed you do will be punished. And that to me is some way I don't want to live by, because I believe that good deeds go duly noted at the least. I believe that when we do good for doing good's sake, not for return, good things happen. When we believe in the system and we live to a certain level of character and honesty, good things happen. People know when you are of good character. People know when you are a doer of good deeds. And the idea of saying that no good deed goes unpunished is irrational. It's asinine. It's based on a system where you're not supposed to do good. It's based on a system where somebody did good a couple of times and got screwed for it. And you know what? Honestly, that was probably karma. Because, you know, you have to do good and consecutively do good and continue to do good in order for good to happen. That's just the way it is. I mean, you know, and the thing is that we can sit there and do good a few times, but if you have been accumulating a lot of bad stuff, you're going to get bad before the good. And I know one thing. I mean, when I do a good deed and I do it without wanting anything in return, good things happen. They just do. That's the way the world works. Why make a statement and why accept a statement from someone else that goes against universal law? Think about it. Why would somebody make that statement? A couple of months ago, I was in a meeting and we were talking about something that happened. I can't remember what it was, but something happened. Buddy, I was out of town and I had somebody watching Buddy, and he likes to get into that tall grass. You know, that really allergen filled, tall, kind of like wild looking grass, different colors. It normally is like a khaki or a green, and it's tall, about 2 or 3 feet off the ground, maybe three feet off the ground. And my friend that had been, taking him out to go to the bathroom and to walk him and stuff when I was out of town had washed him in the wrong shampoo, and he had broken out. He's a real allergen little dog, and he had broken out, very sensitive little skin. And it was interesting, and I was talking about that, and the person that I was talking to was like, well, you know how it is. And I go, what do you mean? They go, no good deed goes unpunished. And I kind of like listened to it, and I was like, what does that mean? And I was like, well, that's not true. Yes, sometimes we can do things and want to do the best we can, and it doesn't work out that way. But punishment, that's extreme. I mean, the whole idea of somebody going that extra mile, no matter how it turned out to me, it brought a smile to my face, and I appreciate it for them. I appreciate that they did that. So punishment, that's as far from reality and as far from universal truth as there is. So don't ever accept that. Good deeds are good deeds. When they are done responsible, they get good feedback, good return, and you are in the good. Always remember that. Don't buy into things that are opposite than universal law, because they don't ever, ever matter. You know, it's interesting how we do have a lot of these sayings that are kind of like double negatives. We do have a lot of these sayings that are kind of like, I don't know, they make me feel like you might as well stay in bed because the best of your years are behind you. That's how it kind of makes me feel. You better stay in bed because you know what? Go on and get back into bed. Take your suit off. Put your pajamas on because the best life and the best years of your life are way behind you. I mean, some of these sayings that we have, they're just idiotic. You know, the last one that you never want to accept. The last one that you never want to accept. And I know that this is going to sound a little odd to people, because we're so used to saying it. And this is on both sides. And it's also one that you never want to say either. This is something that's very, very important to not only your self-esteem, but to others' self-esteem as well. The concept of you're sorry or I'm sorry. Wow. Think about it. How many times have you heard somebody say I'm sorry in a day? You got to be careful with that, because what does that mean? That means you're miserable, you're sad, you're worthless, you're a piece of crud. That's what you're saying on a daily basis when you say I'm sorry. That's what you're saying about yourself. And yourself, your internal self, knows it. Think about it. I have some friends of mine that say I'm sorry about, I would say, about 15 to 20 times a day, because that's their go-to comment for anything and everything. And those people, I love them so much, but it shows. It shows in their life because they say it so much. A lot of them are down and out. A lot of them are so depressed. Because if you say, I'm sorry, if you say I'm an idiot long enough, you'll believe it. Okay? It's the same thing as with the I'm sorry. Or if somebody says, say that you're sorry. No! Uh-uh. You might be apologetic for something that happened. You might be apologetic. I'm very apologetic. Or, you know, I'm upset about what happened, but mostly I'm extremely apologetic. That's something that you go with. The I'm sorry and you're sorry need to be dropped from your vocabulary immediately. It does nobody good. It keeps this inner feeling of remorse and anger, and the ability to not, you don't even feel like you're good enough because you're constantly saying you're not. And that's the key, is that these three statements are so important to your health and to the way we see the world. I mean, don't allow people to dump on you. Even if they say, they always begin with, I'm sorry I dumped on you, or sorry I dumped on you. Okay? Get rid of that. Don't accept that. Don't agree to that agreement. Don't agree to that covenant. We don't realize how important words are. The second thing is that no good deed goes unpunished. Well, what does that mean? We should all go around doing crazy mayhem. We should all do some bad stuff, because you know what? Anything good we do is never going to turn out good. We're going to get punished for everything we do that's good. That's crazy. That's ludicrous. That's against universal law. Last but not least, don't ever agree to saying I'm sorry, or that they're sorry, or you're sorry. All not good things to say, because it gets into the body and it makes us feel like we're lesser than. Remember that your words are important. Listening is key to understanding where you are and where other people are. Silence is golden. And you know, there is a difference between having something to say, to say a lot, versus talking a lot. Stay tuned. When we return, we have a great show for you. Stay well, stay great, and keep that awesome perspective. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.